This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Penguins account 20 minutes ago tweeting a picture of Sid, Gino, Chris Letang, and the Flower together on the ice pregame, and it actually kind of makes me a little melancholy to look at it. That game getting set to get underway here in a couple of minutes, but we're talking Steelers 26-18. 6-2, first place in the AFC North. Breaking it all down with good buddy Nick Faribault of PennLive.com as he joins the program. Nick, I want to start with Russell Wilson. I know last week when we talked about Russ and after start number one, and I know you mentioned it with Donnie Football as well, the arm strength and throws down the field was something that you were keeping an eye on. Did you see improvement with Russ in that regard against the Giants?
Oh, yeah, man. He maybe made the best throw he's made in 3 years on that shot to Pickens. Yeah, you saw the arm strength definitely improve. I didn't really feel like the only time I was like, where's the arm was there was one off platform throw that he threw that just died on him. But I thought that he drove the ball really well. He drove it on a line with velocity, too. Like, dude, that ball to Pickens wasn't a moon ball. That was just an absolute laser beam that went 45, 50 yards in the air. I thought his throw to Jefferson showed that off, too. I thought he was getting it out quick, getting it in tighter windows. His throw to Pickens that didn't count, not the first touchdown, but the second one that Pickens didn't get the second foot down, was a really good tight window throw, too, that showed off velocity. So, yeah, again, I thought it was maybe a calf issue where he maybe wasn't stepping into it as much, or the plant leg. It seems like maybe it was that, or getting the rust off, whatever it was. But, yeah, I thought it was all there. Looks like the arm is there, which is great news for the Steelers because Russ's best trade is always that arm and that deep ball. And clearly through two games, they are popping with that, with ease, actually.
Yeah, get up on ESPN this morning. It was either a graphic or they posed the question, like, who's the Steelers quarterback after the bye week? I mean, there isn't a universe now where they would make a change back to Justin Fields. This is Russ's team. I think, and I think a lot of people out there do as well, you included, but does the bye week give them an opportunity to include and install Justin Fields in red zone offense in situations, you know, with assuming that he gets healthy, and that's Justin Fields?
As long as the hamstring is good, I would say so, yes. The hamstring is not serious, so I do expect that to be something. Listen, I'm interested to see where they kind of utilize it. We talked about this last week, Jack, where I thought, you know, they wanted to get Russ to a rhythm and want to knock the rust off of him and didn't want to throw him in there without building that up. But I think now that you look at it, now you can start to get Justin in there. Russ has had two games. He's fully back. He feels kind of the rhythm of the game again. It's nothing that, you know, is going to change anymore. He's gotten a ton of reps through two games. And so Justin, against teams like, for example, a really good run defense like Baltimore, who is the top run defense in the NFL right now, Justin could definitely give you a different type of look and kind of help you with that red zone, those tight areas, right? And so that's a place to do it, especially because they were 0-for-4 in the red zone yesterday. And some of that was due to, obviously, the face mask and then Pickens not getting the second foot down. But they couldn't run the ball when they got into the red zone either, which is an issue. And so if you can bring in the misdirection, do some different things with Justin Fields and make the quarterback run game, which was a big part of their game through six games when Justin was in there. He ran the ball in multiple times just in the red zone. Yeah, I think that's part of what will help elevate this offense in different ways. But again, it's going to come out in a specific matchup. They're going to tease it every single week. I'm just interested to see when they finally do pop it out. It exists. It's in there. I just don't know when it's going to come out.
Nick Faribault covers the Steelers for PennLive.com. He's joining us right now on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Nick, Deontay Johnson getting dealt to the Baltimore Ravens today. couple of questions off of that. First of all, what does that do for the Ravens, and does that make the Ravens, do you think, any better in your eyes as they bring Diontae Johnson into their offense?
Yeah, it gives them a third separator. They already had two really good separators, I thought. When you talked about Rashad Bateman, Zay Flowers, and Diontae kind of continues that trend. They don't really have a big body guy, which is interesting. It's a lot of guys that have drop issues that separate and can create after the catch. They're all like the same dude. If you were trying to prevent the Rashad Bateman drop against Cleveland, Diontae is the guy that might most likely recreate that play. I mean, even their fourth receiver is Nelson Agholor, and he obviously has drop issues himself. So, yeah, it's interesting. But he does add another weapon to them. I also think if they had lost one of Flowers or Bateman, I think that the Ravens would have been in real trouble with their offense against better defenses. Now, you know, if Flowers gets hurt, Bateman gets hurt, Diontae's there, right? So they have a nice security blanket there. So he adds another dimension. And that's a loaded offense, man. I mean, think of those top three receivers with Isaiah Likely, Mark Andrews, and King Henry, and then Lamar's legs on top of it. That is really, really deadly. So that's really good. And on top of that, it keeps, you know, Diontae Johnson away from another contender, right? The Texans just lost Stephon Diggs, so he's not going there. Even though the Chiefs got DeAndre Hopkins, could they have doubled up and tried to get Diontae too? Sure. Keeps them away from the Chargers. It keeps them away from all those teams. So that's another kind of shrewd little bit there by the Ravens. And I think for the Steelers, it kind of ups the ante, right? This is the latest team in the AFC to get a receiver. The Bills got Amari Cooper. The Chiefs got DeAndre Hopkins. Obviously, the Jets have Devontae Adams, but a lot of the top AFC teams have gotten wide receivers, and they've gotten wide receiver help. And so it ups the ante for the Steelers, especially now that Roman Wilson's out on IR, too. You don't have the internal upside option anymore. So, yeah, it ups the ante for the Steelers to go out and make a move. It's just who. I strongly think, Jack, if Christian Kirk had not broken his collarbone, we would have seen Christian Kirk become a Steeler. But obviously that's out the window now.
What makes you say that?
I think he's he would have been the logical player that would be open to being moved, one. Because I'm not buying that necessarily, you know, Jacoby Myers and Darius Slayton are out there to be had necessarily for affordable prices. I think you could have gotten Kirk for a day three pick, which is kind of what the Steelers would have wanted, right? Like a fifth round pick. You could have gotten the Jacks to take on some of his salary, and he would have been a definite upgrade to this room. And so he's under contract for multiple years, and so it would have been a nice marriage, too. He's young enough to where he can be a long-term piece for the Steelers. He would have been a nice marriage of kind of this long-term option, even though he's a slot guy. You know, Calvin Austin could play outside, so they could have picked Calvin out there. Kirk can block, so he would have been a really nice fit for them from just a lot of different areas. But obviously now that's off the market, and I'm just not sure what the market is right now, you know. Slayton is probably going to cost more than he's going to be worth because the Giants might want to re-sign him. You know, I'm not sure that the Patriots want to part ways with a guy like Kendrick Bourne, who might be interesting. You know, Cooper Kupp obviously got pulled off the wire. So, you know, I'm thinking, you know, when I'm looking at targets right now, you know, you're really looking at guys like Mike Williams and Adam Thielen and KJ Osborne, names like that who aren't super flashy. But, you know, you can probably get them for day three picks. It's just going to be, is there a target, you know, kind of on par with these guys that have been moved to where the Steelers can make a little bit of a splash?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, and the second question I originally had for you after the DJ trade was, what does it do to what the Steelers potentially could offer up to a team for a wide receiver? Diontae was traded along with a sixth for a fifth. Did you think that return was maybe a little on the cheap end? And can the Steelers get something of a player in similar caliber for giving up similar things that the Ravens gave up?
Well, the Steelers had basically set the Deontay price themselves in March when they traded for Dante Jackson. And so without a player involved, this is basically the same thing, right? This is what the Steelers would have gotten if they hadn't traded for Dante Jackson in that deal. That's basically what would have happened. And so I think they set that to a degree. Hopkins went for a conditional fourth. That was a fifth. I think that's where you're hovering around. I just don't know. Let's say the Steelers are probably in on Darius Slayton, right? They probably called about him just because they called about everybody, basically, right? They want a wide receiver. Slayton could theoretically go for a fifth or a fourth, but if the Giants want to resign him, they might bump that up to a third because they don't want to trade him. I'm just not sure there's an obvious candidate of the Deontay Johnson caliber. Mike Williams, maybe, I think, you know, if you believe in that upside and that he's just hampered by that Jets offense, maybe that's the answer. Because it seems like everyone that goes to that Jets offense is kind of swallowing into a sinkhole right now, because it's just a dysfunctional group right now. So maybe that would be – I think that is the one – Mike Williams is probably the one that makes sense where the Steelers could maybe trade a sixth-round pick, fifth-round, sixth-round pick swap, something like that, and have considerable upside, I think, to still get. Thielen is an older guy. Osborne, I think, is fine, but not a super, big-time upgrade. And so Williams is the one guy who, even though the tape isn't that great, you have flashes of brilliance, and you see the easy fit in the offense, right? He's a big contested catch receiver, fits with the deep ball mantra. He blocks. It makes sense.
Nick Faribault covers the Steelers for PennLive.com. He's with us now. Lot changes for the Steelers after the bye, Nick. That includes Cam Sutton, reinstated after his suspension. How does he fit into this Steelers defense, and do you expect him, with the sort of emergence of Beanie Bishop, couple interceptions in these last few games, does Sutton play right away, and does he get acclimated into the fold pretty much immediately, or does he kind of work his way in?
I think he's going to work his way in. He was off for 8 weeks. He hasn't practiced since before the season, right? So, I mean, that's a long time, Jack. That is a long time for practice. So, you know, conditioning, getting back into it, I think there's going to be a little bit of a ramp-up period for him, especially because, you know, there's only going to be maybe one practice this week, and they'll have an extra practice next week coming out of the bye, but it's not probably going to be enough. And Beanie has, over the last 2 weeks, I think, earned himself a little bit of grace. Like, I think he's earned himself a little bit of a leash. And listen, I'm sure he's going to have a role. Maybe he takes that dime backer role right away. He's going to probably be the top depth cornerback on the outside right away, over James Pierre. Although Corey Trice might be returning too. And, you know, how does that work out? So there's a lot of moving pieces here. I think eventually he does become that starting slot. Probably by the Ravens game, I would imagine he's in there, or at least at the latest by that Browns game on Thursday Night Football. But yeah, he's going to have a role pretty soon. And Steelers signed him to be a veteran depth piece. He can play slot, he can play linebacker, he can play outside, he can do a little bit of everything. So he'll have a role for sure. And I think rightfully so. I think he's a guy that can give them kind of a good communicator back there, and a guy that is sure to be assignment sound. I think that's something, you know, that Beanie Bishop has had trouble with over the last 2 weeks. It's been much better, though.
Of the guys that have been missing time, Nick, Zach Frazier, Nick Herbig, Matakevich, who do you expect maybe will take most advantage of the bye week to get healthy, and who will we see against the Commanders in a couple of weeks, and maybe who might take a little bit longer to get back onto the field?
Yeah, so here's the interesting thing. I think, you know, guys like Herbig, Frazier, Patterson, they will all be back for that game against the Commanders. That's what I've heard. That's what it sounds like. And so that's big news for the Steelers, obviously. Those are big boosts. I think Tyler Matakevich, Dylan Cook will be back. I think Corey Trice has a chance to be back too from his hamstring. I think he'll probably have his IR stint opened up here quite soon as well. So, yeah, the Steelers are in business with getting some of these reinforcements back, Jack. They've needed it, right? They're going to be full depth on that cornerback room. They're going to get their running back room back to full mast. They're going to get a huge boost, I think, to their pass rush and Nick Herbig and what he brings. He was so good before he got hurt. And so you're going to have a lot of faces to kind of bring back into the fold, but they're going to be even better for it. They're going to build out this depth pretty quickly. And so I think the biggest one to return is obviously going to be Frazier. I just think with what he did, he is a star. He really is. He played so well before he got hurt. He and Mason McCormick were really starting to build something there. And this run game is starting to really cook. Even with him out, I think with him back in there, they could really take the leap there and become, you know, a top 10 rushing offense throughout the second half of the season. And they face a lot of, despite facing, I think it's interesting, despite kind of facing a lot of really bad offenses in the first half, they kind of flipped the script in the second half. You look at, you know, the Bengals, the Browns, the Ravens, the Eagles, a lot of these teams are not ranked very highly in defense. It's they're good teams, but their defenses are definitely attackable. So a rushing offense like that will come in handy for the Steelers in the second half of the season.
Nick Faribault, PennLive.com, with us as we move along here on the Fan Evening Show. Nick, what needs to happen? This will be my last question for you. I said before I brought you on, I think 6-3 is slightly more likely than 3-6 in the final nine games. But what needs to happen? What needs to change for the Steelers to get to, 10, 11, 12 wins as they, close out the regular season?
I think the biggest thing comes on the defensive side of the ball. I just think they need to stop being super predictable. I just think that's been a big thing, Jack. You know, they don't blitz a lot. They blitz kind of rush four. They play a lot of the same coverages, don't disguise their coverages. I just feel like that's been a big part of why the pass rush has been neutralized at times, and teams have been able to attack them, right? With quick game and different things like that. Because the offensive coordinators, if you're playing cover one and cover three all the time, can go away from Minka Fitzpatrick, find the open spots in these zones, and attack it. And so I think that's the biggest thing that needs to change. If they could find, I think, more schematic versatility in the defense, I think the talent is always there. It always has been there. I mean, look at who they have from, the first level through the secondary. There's not much concern there for me. And so I think if you can get that schematic part of it kind of matched up with the talent part, that defense can really ascend from, what they are now, which is a slightly above average defense, to a truly elite defense like we thought they would be through the first 3 weeks of the season. I think they can really ascend there and become a really, really special group. And I think if you get that type of defense with the offense ascending as it is right now with Russ and crew, that could be a team that wins a few playoff games and at least threatens teams in the playoffs. And I think that's what the Steelers want this year. So I think that's what the biggest change needs to happen in the second half. It comes on that defensive side of the ball.
He's Nick Faribault. He covers the Steelers for PennLive.com. Follow him on X at FaribaughFB. Nick, has the video of George Pickens' elbow drop become any less funny to you 24 hours almost later?
No, it's incredible. It is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. It is incredible.
Yeah. No, we were laughing pretty hard at it last night. So Steelers head into a bye. Couple of weeks. Washington Commanders. Nick, appreciate you coming on as always. Talk to you soon, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, man. Appreciate it as always.
Yep, there he goes. Nick Faribault of PennLive.com. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates. It's a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the text line brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. During our chat with Nick, some breaking trade news across the NFL involving the Minnesota Vikings and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Vikings trade for Cam Robinson in exchange for draft compensation. Not sure what the compensation is, but Cam Robinson, pretty darn good starting left tackle with Jacksonville, 91 starts in his career, and that helps the Vikings out because Christian Darrisaw, their stud, one of the best in the game, is out for the season. So Cam Robinson, left tackle of the Jags, goes to Minnesota in exchange for some draft capital. That's some breaking draft news. I'm Jack Kilgrove. Coming up, another reason why I think 6-3 is more likely than 3-6 for the Steelers as they close out the regular season. Halfway through it, the Washington Commanders are the next opponent in a couple of weeks. But there's one statistic that is sticking out to me, and I can't help but get it out of my head ever since I saw it last night. What makes me think that 12 wins is very feasible for the Black and Gold. I'll let you know what that is after the break. It's the Fan Evening Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.